Welcome back to the Crypto Daily. Today we're diving into a fascinating story about a Bitcoin miner, TeraWulf, going green and venturing into the AI infrastructure space.
It's a timely pivot. The AI boom is driving up demand for energy, and TeraWulf, with its 95% zero carbon energy sources, is well positioned to capitalize on this shift.
Absolutely. They're not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk. Eliminating debt, securing significant funding, and even launching a share buyback program. They're putting their money where their mouth is.
It's a bold move, transitioning from the volatile world of Bitcoin mining to the potentially more stable, but equally competitive, AI market. The question is, can they replicate their success?
That's the million-dollar question. They've got the infrastructure, the green energy, and now the capital. But can they convince tech giants to trust them with their AI workloads? It's a gamble, but one with potentially huge rewards. Speaking of bold moves, let's talk about Ripple. It's trying to revolutionize cross-border payments, but it's facing some serious headwinds, particularly with the SEC lawsuit.
Right. The regulatory uncertainty is a major hurdle. But let's not forget, Ripple's technology is already being used by major financial institutions. Their network is fast, cheap, and scalable, three things traditional systems struggle with.
True, but can they maintain those advantages as the landscape evolves? We're seeing the rise of CBDCs, and even SWIFT is upping its game. Can Ripple stay ahead of the curve?
That's where their push into tokenization and smart contracts comes in. They're not just focusing on payments anymore. They want to be a platform for all sorts of financial applications. It's ambitious, but if they pull it off, they could become a major player in the future of finance.
It's a classic David versus Goliath story. Can a relatively small company like Ripple disrupt the entrenched giants of global finance? It'll be fascinating to see how this plays out. So Ethereum seems to be showing some signs of life after a bit of a slump. What's got the ETH bulls feeling optimistic?
Well, several factors suggest a potential rebound towards $6,000. First, ETH is holding strong above the crucial $2,400 support level, which has historically preceded significant price recoveries. Second, there's been a massive outflow of ETH from Coinbase, over 500,000 ETH worth over $1.3 billion withdrawn in just 1 hour. These large-scale transfers often signal institutional interest, which could be a bullish indicator.
That's a significant chunk of change moving around. It does make you wonder who's behind it and what their game plan is. But beyond those two points, you mentioned there were several factors at play here. What else is contributing to this potential upswing?
Right. Lastly, we're seeing technical indicators suggesting a rotation out of Bitcoin and Solana and into Ethereum. ETH is trading around its all-time ascending trendline support against Bitcoin, and its RSI is showing oversold conditions, which could trigger a price rebound. Meanwhile, Solana, after an impressive surge against ETH, is showing signs of being overvalued, which could lead to a correction and further benefit Ethereum.
So we've talked about Ethereum's potential, but what about the broader altcoin market? Is alt season still a thing, or is that a relic of a bygone era?
Well, one prominent analyst, Willie Wu, believes that while alt seasons will likely continue, they'll be weaker in the future. He argues that the 2017 alt bubble was a unique event fueled by the ICO craze, and we're unlikely to see those levels of irrational exuberance again.
That makes sense. The market is maturing, and investors are becoming more discerning. But does that mean the days of altcoins delivering those eye-popping returns are over?
Not necessarily. Wu still sees potential for mid-cap and low-cap cryptos to pump after Bitcoin rallies as investors chase higher risk and higher rewards. He even suggests this cycle could be driven by meme coins, which he calls a piss take on the crypto space.
Meme coins. So we're talking about coins driven purely by hype and speculation, not necessarily any underlying value or utility.
Exactly. It's a high-risk, high-reward game. Wu himself warns against holding altcoins long-term unless you're incredibly knowledgeable about the space and the specific projects. He compares it to a casino where the house always wins.
So we've talked about the speculative side of crypto, but this article paints a much broader picture of Web3's potential, particularly in revolutionizing global finance. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a critical distinction to make. Crypto, as in Bitcoin or meme coins, is just one aspect of Web3. The real potential lies in its underlying technology, blockchain, and how it can create a more efficient and equitable financial system.
The article uses a great analogy of degens as modern-day Columbuses, fueling the development of Web3 infrastructure. It's chaotic, but it's driving innovation.
Absolutely. Think of it like the early days of the internet. There was a lot of hype, speculation, even scams. But that Wild West period paved the way for the transformative technology we have today. Web3 is similar.
The article also argues that the end game for Web3 isn't just about speculation, but rather unifying the global monetary system. Do you see that as a realistic possibility?
I think it's certainly within the realm of possibility. We're already seeing countries like India making strides with CBDCs, and the integration of crypto into existing financial systems is inevitable. The question is how quickly it will happen and what form it will take.
So, we have this interesting dichotomy with Bitcoin hitting new all-time highs, yet some analysts remain cautious. Dan Dolev, for instance, seems particularly bearish on Coinbase, even going as far as saying he doesn't believe in the underlying currency. What's your take on this skepticism in the face of such a strong rally?
It's healthy to have a diversity of opinions, especially in a market as nascent as crypto. Dolev raises valid points about Coinbase's business model, particularly the pressure on their take rates as competition heats up. But his skepticism towards Bitcoin itself might be missing the bigger picture. The influx of institutional money via ETFs, as highlighted by BlackRock's iBit, signals a shift in how traditional finance views digital assets. This isn't just retail speculation anymore.
That's a crucial point. BlackRock's involvement seems to be a major vote of confidence for Bitcoin. Does this suggest that institutional adoption is finally happening at scale?
It's certainly a strong indicator. When you have a behemoth like BlackRock entering the space, it legitimizes crypto in the eyes of many traditional investors who may have been hesitant before. The $55 billion held by Bitcoin ETFs in just 60 days speaks volumes about the pent-up demand. We're likely still in the early innings of this institutional adoption wave.
Turning our attention to India, there's been a lot of buzz around CBDCs and their potential impact on the cryptocurrency landscape. CoinDCX's co-founder argues that they can coexist, but not everyone shares that view. What's your perspective on this?
It's a complex issue. On the one hand, CBDCs could offer advantages like improved monetary policy control and financial inclusion. But on the other hand, there are concerns about privacy, government overreach, and the potential for these digital currencies to simply become extensions of existing fiat systems with all their inherent flaws.
That's a critical point. If CBDCs simply replicate the existing financial system in a digital format, they might not address the fundamental problems that cryptocurrencies aim to solve. It seems India is at a crossroads, trying to balance innovation with regulation. What do you think is the best path forward for them?
India has a tremendous opportunity to become a leader in the digital asset space. Embracing a balanced regulatory framework that fosters innovation while addressing legitimate concerns like AML and KYC is crucial. Heavy-handed bans or overly restrictive policies could stifle growth and push innovation elsewhere. India needs to decide if it wants to be a rulemaker or a rule-taker in this evolving landscape.
So let's delve into a topic that's been generating quite a bit of discussion lately: rehypothecation and commingling in the crypto space. These practices aren't new to traditional finance, but their application to cryptocurrencies raises some serious red flags, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. The inherent volatility of cryptocurrencies amplifies the risks associated with these practices. When you add in the opacity of some crypto platforms and the lack of clear regulatory oversight, you have a recipe for potential disaster, as we saw with the FTX debacle.
Exactly. The FTX collapse served as a stark reminder of what can go wrong when these practices are misused or abused. It eroded trust in the industry and highlighted the need for greater transparency and accountability.
Precisely. Investors need to know how their assets are being used and whether they're at risk. Clear disclosures, robust risk management practices, and regulatory frameworks that specifically address these practices in the context of crypto are essential to restoring confidence and ensuring the long-term health of the market.
So, it seems that the pursuit of profit has led us down a path that contradicts the very principles of decentralization that cryptocurrency initially championed.
It's a classic case of unintended consequences. The allure of financial gain has incentivized behaviors that have inadvertently centralized power within the cryptocurrency mining landscape.
Indeed. And as this concentration of mining power persists, it raises concerns about potential manipulation, vulnerabilities to attacks, and a departure from the vision of a truly distributed and democratized financial system. It will be interesting to see how this tension between profit motive and decentralization plays out in the long run. Thanks for joining us today, Michael. It's been a fascinating discussion.